lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's stable land. By your grace then I have found, Lord, let my feet on higher ground.
It's a good life. Coming to you from Central Baptist Church, located at 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida. Please join us as Dr. Lewis Woodard teaches and preaches from the King James Bible. Our prayer for you is that this program will help lift you to higher ground with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Dr. Woodard.
I recently asked the question, what has happened to America? And after I asked that question, I said that we needed to look in 1 Samuel chapter 8, because in that chapter, I believe that we can see some similarities between what is happening and what has happened in America compared to what happened to Israel back in the time of the judges. As we look at the life of Samuel, we see that the man was a prophet. He was a man of God who proclaimed that God was God. He stood up for what was right. He was a prophet. He was a judge. Now, the Bible teaches us that he was the last judge of Israel. Not only was he a judge and a prophet, he was also a priest. He was a man of God whom God had placed there to do the office of a priest. And he was a great man of faith. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 32 says, "And what shall I more say? For the time would fail me of Gideon." To tell of Gideon and of Barak and of Samson and of Jephthah, of David also, and notice, and Samuel of the prophets. Samuel was born in response to his mother Hannah's prayers. It's so important for young people to have parents of praise, parents of godly people who will stand up for God. Godly parents who pray for their children. Hannah prayed for her child before he was born. 1 Samuel chapter 1, verses 9 through 11, it says, "So Hannah rose up after they had eaten in Shiloh and after they had drunk. Now Eli the priest sat upon a seat by a post of the temple of the Lord. And she was in bitterness of soul and prayed unto the Lord and wept sore." That means she had been praying and asking God. She had been praying and wanting a child, but she could not have a child at that time. Verse 11, 1 Samuel chapter 1, goes on to say, "And she vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thine handmaid and remember me and not forget thine handmaid, but wilt give unto thine handmaid a man-child, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head." That means she was going to dedicate this child. She was asking for a child, and she said, "God, if you give me this child, I'll give him to you. I'll give him back." Well, God answered Hannah's prayer, and we see in 1 Samuel chapter 1, verses 19 and 20, it says, "And they rose up in the morning early and worshiped before the Lord and returned and came to their house to Ramah. And Elkanah knew Hannah his wife, and the Lord remembered her. Wherefore it came to pass, when the time was come about after Hannah had conceived, that she bare a son and called his name Samuel, saying, Because I have asked of him of the Lord." God answered her prayer, and she gave glory and honor to the Lord. Would to God today that we would honor God more, that we would praise him, that we would lift him up, and just bring the glory that he deserves, the glory that only he should have. Now, we keep reading and we start looking into the book of 1 Samuel, and we see that Eli, who was the priest, and when Hannah had gone to the temple, he was the priest there. But we see that as Eli's sons were born, and as they grew, they were wicked and pagan. But we see that Samuel served the Lord. Now, soon it became clear that God spoke more intimately with Samuel than with Eli. We keep reading, and we find out that Samuel grew. As he grew, it became obvious that he suffered the same weakness as Eli. Samuel also had sons. And the same thing primarily happened to Samuel's sons that happened to Eli's sons. Samuel's sons were evil. 1 Samuel chapter 8, verses 1 through 3, it says, "And it came to pass when Samuel was old, that he made his sons judges over Israel. Now the name of his firstborn was Joel, and the name of his second, Abiah. And they were judges in Beersheba, and his sons walked not in his ways, but turned aside after lucre, and took bribes and perverted judgment." Well, the transition from the era of the judges to kingship was turbulent. And as we read, we find as priest, Samuel prayed for the people. As a prophet, he reproved Saul for impatience and disobedience. You read about this in 1 Samuel chapter 13 and chapter 15. Well, why did Israel get into such a mess? Israel was in a mess, and it was a mess when it came to a king. And what is the parallel between the United States and Israel? Let me remind you that I will not finish this today. You need to listen the next time and find out more about why the United States is compared to Israel, as I'm looking at it here in 1 Samuel chapter 8. Well, the people of Israel had concerns, and we read about that in 1 Samuel chapter 8, verses 4 and 5. It says, "Then all the elders of Israel gathered themselves together and came to Samuel unto Ramah, and said unto him, Behold, thou art old, and thy sons walk not in thy ways. Now make us a king to judge us like all the nations." Well, those verses tell us that Samuel was old. Samuel's sons were crooks, according to those verses. They would rather have money as to stand up for what was right, to stand up for God. Well, what was Samuel's attitude in all of this? 1 Samuel chapter 8 and verse 6, it says, "But the thing displeased Samuel." In other words, he didn't want the truth told to him about his sons. I believe that's the way it is with many parents today in America. People don't want to hear about their children, how that they're acting and how they're not doing what they're supposed to be doing. They're not godly. They're not doing what they should be doing as young men and women should be doing to please the Lord. Well, when Samuel heard that the people did not like his sons, that they called them crooks, it displeased him. They said, "Give us a king to judge us." They were fed up not only with the sons of Samuel, I believe they were fed up with Samuel here. It says, "And Samuel prayed unto the Lord." He said, "I want to know what I'm to do now." Well, Samuel was discontented. He was unhappy with what the people said and what they wanted. Well, what did the Lord tell Samuel? In 1 Samuel chapter 8, verses 7 through 9, we read something. It says, "And the Lord said unto Samuel, Hearken unto the voice of the people." In other words, listen to the voice. Listen to them in all that they say unto thee, for they have not rejected thee. He's saying, don't take this personal. God told him, says, don't take this personal, Samuel. They've not rejected you. They have not rejected thee, but they have rejected me. God said, Samuel, they have not rejected you. They have rejected God, the Creator, me, God, Jehovah. And he said, the reason is that I should not reign over them. The people did not want God to reign over them. Don't we see that in America today, where people disavow anything about God? Where people think that they're going to control the atmosphere, they're going to control the temperature, they're going to control everything on this earth and in the sky and in the universe. Don't we see that people disrespect the Creator? In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. God is God. He is the Creator. Verse 8 of 1 Samuel chapter 8 goes on to say, "According to all the works which I have done since the day I brought them up out of Egypt, even unto this day, wherewith they have forsaken me and served other gods, so do they also unto thee." God says, don't think this is something strange, Samuel, because they're not rejecting you. They're rejecting me. They've rejected me since I brought them out of Egypt. They have done so much. They've turned against me. They've done so many things that has shown that they have forsaken me. They've served other gods, and so do they also unto thee. In other words, they have no respect for you, Samuel, just as they have no respect for me. But it's me, Samuel, that they are rejecting. Well, the Lord told Samuel to pay attention. He said, listen to these people, everything the people said. And then the Lord told Samuel he had not been rejected, but the people had rejected the Lord himself. People today, I submit to you, have rejected God. People today have no respect for God. People today have no fear of God. People today will not listen to God. America today has rejected God. Romans chapter 1, verses 19 through 28, give us a picture. It says, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them, for the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so they are without excuse. All we have to do is look around us. We look to the sky and we say, man could not have done this. We look to the stars. Man could not have made these stars. We look to the earth. Man could not have made this earth. Well, if man could not make the earth, the stars, the moon, and all of that, how can they control what they did not create? There is only one creator, and he is the one who controls everything, and that is God. Notice verse 20 again of Romans chapter 1. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen. In other words, we read about it, but we can look. We see those things. It does not take faith to look and see something that is there. It's there, God is saying. It says, by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. There is no excuse not believing in God, in other words. Verse 21, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, and to birds, and four-footed beasts, and creeping things. Man has worshipped himself for centuries, for thousands of years, and this is something that God does not want happening. He wants people to glorify him because he is the creator. Verse 24 goes on to say, wherefore, now listen, what is the result of all of this? Of people turning their backs on God and not accepting him as God. What's the result? Wherefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lusts of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served the creature more than the creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. Man looks to himself today and worships himself, thinking that he can do and be in the role of God, that man has become God himself. Well, this is a lie from the pits of hell. And God is telling us this in these verses that we're reading in Romans chapter 1, that man has turned his back on God, our creator. Now, I wonder today, if you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you do not need to turn your back on the Lord. Please do not turn your back on the Lord, because he wants to save you today. The Bible says, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. The Bible teaches us that we acknowledge that we're all sinners, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. If you will acknowledge that you're a sinner and you can't save yourself, and you're willing to go God's way, God will save you. Please, God, save me. Come into my heart. I receive you as my Lord and Savior. If you'll pray something like that, God will save you. The Bible says in Romans chapter 10 and verse 13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Call upon him right now.
You have been listening to It's a Good Life with Dr. Lewis Woodard. We trust you have been blessed. More biblical teaching about the Christian life can be found by visiting our websites, lrwm.org or itsagoodliferadio.com. We would love to hear from you today. Our email address is life@lrwm.org. This is Doug Anderson reminding you that it's a good life serving the Lord.
May the Lord bless you richly is our prayer.